Upgrade your learning experience during Dell Technologies Back to School event with AI PCs like the Dell 14 Plus featuring an Intel Core Ultra processor starting at $749.99. Supercharge your studies with features like real-time notes transcription, AI-accelerated hardware to run multiple apps without slowing down, extended battery life, and more. That's the power of new AI PCs with Intel Inside. Discover a smarter way to learn at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
That was just a dark moment in all of our lives.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Talking about Devontae Adams in regards to Jimmy Garoppolo. 8 different uses of the F word.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
What's just the 4-letter F word? Would you call that a noun?
The word is a noun.
The Rich Eisen Show.
It describes a person, place, or thing.
Today's guests, co-host of Good Morning Football, Manti Te'o, Pro Football Hall of Famer, Michael Irvin, WWE superstar, The Miz, director, Gotham Chopra, and now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. I can confirm it, and here I am. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH, number to dial, talk. Let's talk. Let's have a great chat, because you know what? It's time to do that. It's time for the season. It's time for the National Football League to get started. It's time for the Hall of Fame game this evening in Canton, Ohio, the home of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, the Lions and the Chargers. Oh, my. Here we go. Let's roll. Going down tonight. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. How are you?
Rich, I'm great.
Another reason why I get in while the getting's good is we have 4 guests. We're 4 wide today.
A lot of guests.
4 wide today. We've got, first up, Manti Te'o making his way to our studio from the NFL Network studios where he just finished Good Morning Football. We follow Good Morning GMFB overtime every single day here on the Roku Sports Channel. He's making his way here. And then we've got ourselves a big-time guest, TJ Jefferson. Is the candle lit? Is the candle lit over there?
It's lit. It's smelling amazing.
Michael Irvin's going to join us today.
Oh, yes. He knows a little bit about
it. Get with these hands.
And then on top of that, just for you, The Miz is joining this program.
Nice.
The Miz is joining this program.
Nice.
Yeah. In advance of SummerSlam. Have you heard of that event?
Yeah, it's going down.
It's
for
good.
Real, yes. As they say.
Good to see you, Jay Felly. How
are
you?
Hey, what's up, Rich?
Good to see you. I don't know if you have any personal like of Gotham Chopra. He's our 4th guest. I've been trying to hook up each guy with the guest that might be of interest.
Yeah. You may not know this. Huge fan.
Fantastic.
Attaboy.
He's the co-director of Prime Video's Built in Birmingham, Brady and the Blues. It's following the players, staff, and owners of Birmingham City during their record-breaking season of last year. Tom is part owner of that team. So we'll talk TB12 and so much more on this program. And you at 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the show. Lions and Chargers. Oh, my. Here's the scoop. Chargers this year. We had Daniel Jeremiah in yesterday. Big season for Justin Herbert. Is it in the making with LaDainian McConkey coming back after that superb rookie season? Quentin Johnston, can he start catching passes more than dropping one amongst many?
Mm-hmm.
The running back room, Omarion Hampton, is a very, very large individual. Najee Harris hurt himself on July 4th. Will he be able to be ready for week number 1? What's going down in Charger country, in the deep end of the AFC West pool? Back and forth we go about who's got the best division in football. And I could make a great case that the best division in football is represented by one of those two teams on the field tonight in Canton, Ohio, because the Detroit Lions were the 1 seed last year, beating out the 14-win Minnesota Vikings in the final game of the season, so they could be the 1 seed and get 1 and done, just like the Vikings were here in Los Angeles. And then the Packers got 1 and done by the Philadelphia Eagles. And then you've got the Bears, vastly improved, one would think, because guess what? They took the offensive coordinator from the Detroit Lions and Ben Johnson and hooked him up to Caleb Williams, who's apparently drinking out of a fire hose, which is a football term of we're giving the kid way more than he can handle right now. Because last year, I guess, was a baptism by fire because somebody got fired in the middle of the season. And part and parcel of that was because Caleb Williams was left on his own to figure out what film to watch amongst many other shocking elements that we have learned about last year's Bears season. Ben Johnson, just add Ben, add competency on the offensive side of the coaching equation, add innovation on the offensive side of the equation in the playbook. He's the one that came up with that Jared Goff fake fumble play. Pick it up, throw for a touchdown against the Bears, and you covet what you see. And the Bears coveted Ben Johnson and took him, and then the Jets took Aaron Glenn for their defensive side of the football, and the guy who sprinkled his fairy dust on a team that had how many guys on injured reserve last year?
412.
That's correct. I looked it up. Odd for a 53-man roster, but I think we all get the point. The Lions are good. They're healthier, but they're missing their coordinators. And the last Super Bowl contending team that we saw lose both coordinators made the Super Bowl the year before and got one and done the year later in the Philadelphia Eagles. Will that be the Lions' fate? Laying out all of these storylines for you, even though we won't get a single answer tonight because I don't know who's playing. But hey, tune into NBC anyway. Because it's football. It's guys in pads.
Yes, sir.
Or guys taking up good seats on the airplane for Daniel Jeremiah, as he was complaining about.
That was a weird gripe by DJ.
Yeah,
yesterday.
I know these guys are looking for jobs, but, you know, the plane's overloaded with a bunch of guys that are not going to be there in week one, and I'm going to be there week one, so why are they taking up the aisle seat that I like?
Because they're reclining to his knees.
Guess what, Daniel Jeremiah? You might not have gotten the seat you wanted, but you just got Mason Miller for your San Diego Padres from the West Sacramento A's and J.P. Sears. We'll talk about the moves in Major League Baseball on this program because we talk baseball here on the Rich Eisen Show. But that said, Chris, we did this the other day for a week one contest of the regular season. We chose some of the more marquee events of week number one and figured out combined win totals for the matchup. And the teams involved in those matchups, season-long combined win totals. What have you cooked up on the Brockman win total meter for the Lions and the Chargers, sir?
Yes, sir. Looking at Vegas' total first before we get to the BMT. 10.5 for the Lions.
What does that stand for?
Median total?
Oh, BWT, Brockman win total.
Okay, very good.
Upside down. 10.5 for the Lions. 10.5 for the Lions.
If you're going to refer to yourself in initials, you might as well get it right.
I wasn't going to, but then you said it.
And you said BM. Yeah. I'm like, okay. The bowel movement?
BLT.
Okay, very good.
Body measurement.
It's funny you mentioned that.
Anyway.
The whole other issue I've been dealing with.
But first, the VWT, Vegas, Vegas
10.5 for Detroit, 9.5 for the Chargers.
So that's 21. You normally like to plus it up. What are you going to plus it up to?
I'm not going
to
plus it up at all. 21? I think that's a great total. I'm going to stick it at 21.
Oh, I'm going over combined win total here for the Lions and the Chargers, don't you think? TJ Jefferson, you're going over 21 combined wins for these two teams? You're not going to fall off. You got great coaches right there. You've got MVP-style quarterbacks right there.
Hey, Detroit's going to go 15-2 again?
I don't know about that, but what if they both win 11 games? Yeah, I got my over.
We're going to have a great day today.
I think I said that the other day, though. Yeah, I think that's the over on that.
Okay, what if I bump it up to 23?
Well, that's...
I would take the under.
Carry the one.
How's that? Because these divisions are deep.
Deep, tough.
They are going to, I mean, could you make the case that in the AFC West and the NFC North, there won't be a single series sweep this year? That everybody draws blood on the other? Couldn't you make that case?
Man, hearing Albert talk about the Bears the other day, I'm a little worried someone might sweep them.
Yeah, but dude, that's also a verbal way of, listen, Albert knows, he and information men and women who come on this program, we've had Florio, we've had Breer, and we've had Diana Rossini this week, Pelissero's coming on as well. They always have a way of letting you know what they know without saying, I've been told he's struggling. Mm-hmm. And he definitely talked about how Caleb Williams is struggling right now, not playing fast enough. There's a month to go. I'm not concerned about it. How does that sound? Next up, the Bears get swept by the Packers or the Lions or the Vikings, or they pick off one and nobody sweeps in either division. I don't even know how rare that is. I might ask NFL Network Research when I see him on Saturday.
What if I give you
for the Hall of Fame
total
coverage.
Playoff teams between the AFC West and the NFC North at 4.5?
The NFC West?
AFC West, NFC West,
and
NFC
North.
These two divisions.
Right.
4.5 playoff teams.
I'll take the over because that means three are coming from one division.
Right.
And three came from both divisions last year. They put three teams, both divisions put three teams in the playoffs last year. There were six combined from those divisions last year. So you're saying one doesn't make it this year from last year.
Or two don't make it.
Well, two don't make it, and I don't get the over.
Right, that's what I mean.
So I'm saying one doesn't make it. I'll take that, but I'll still take the over. I still think they're terrific, brother. They are terrific.
Man,
and the AFC North is going to be better.
Yeah, two 15-win teams and a 14-win team in these two divisions.
How does this sound? The AFC North isn't putting just one in,
maybe.
Right?
That might be a one playoff division.
Because the Browns, the Bengals, the Steelers did make it last year.
Right.
I'll take the over on both. TJ?
I'm taking four for the AFC. I mean, I see the Chiefs are a given, right?
I would think so.
Maybe the Chargers. So four. I'm going to take the under. 4.5, I'm going to take the under.
Under on
that
playoff
first
teams.
One.
What about 23 wins?
23. Yeah, we already said that. I think 20.
Yeah, well, I bumped it.
Well, you did 21.
I did 21 at first.
23.
You both were hard
under.
Over, so I went 23.
No. I'm going to say 22.
Right in the
so
middle.
So I'm going to go under on your.
So they both go 11 and.
I could see that.
Six, basically.
That's the first item up for bids. That's a very Price is Right thing that you just did right there. You went right in the middle with your bid.
Well, you know, it's first blush and you're kind of, you know, it's a lot to take the process, you know, but.
So you know what that means is that if the line is 21, we just have a double over, which you're used to.
Wow.
Unnecessary Thursday blow dart.
Time for the kendo stick.
Unnecessary Thursday blow dart. That's a UTBD.
I'm just minding my own business here.
What do you say?
Oh, I would go unders. I don't think Detroit's going to be as good this year.
This guy, man.
Yeah.
You know why? Just because the new OC and the new DC will be less than, and that will trickle down. And the team that is now much healthier than last year and potentially more improved because of that.
Yeah, I think Detroit and Minnesota take a little bit of a step back. If you think Chicago is going to be a little bit better, Green Bay is going to be a little bit better.
And how about this? I think Jahmyr Gibbs is going to be much better. I think Jahmyr Gibbs is going to.
He could be RB1 this year.
I think he will be, or RB in all of fantasy. I think Jahmyr Gibbs is going to have more on his plate this year. And it's going to be time to have him.
Yeah, it seems
be
like he's getting
RB1.
more right. immediate work with the ones from what I've been seeing in
right.
camp. And then you look at the West. That's a very balanced division.
Right. And again, what you texted the other day, Jahmyr Gibbs has stepped his game up.
So that was me.
Oh, is that what you?
Yeah. Okay. He was at, was it SmackDown or Raw in the crowd? And it looked like life was good for Jahmyr. That's all I'm saying. Life was good for him.
Okay.
You know,
very good.
His plus one.
That's what you said.
Yeah. Hello.
You picking up what we're putting down?
I caught up.
We finished last yesterday's show with Susie with a touch of subtlety. We just tried it again. All right. So the Hall of Fame games tonight. Excited.
Love it.
CeeDee Lamb has spoken on the Micah Parsons scenario.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear this.
And also, there was a fight in training camp in Oxnard yesterday. And the way Brian Schottenheimer handled it certainly raised an eyebrow or two. And CeeDee was asked about that. We'll unpack that before our 88 clubber on our roster today joins us, Michael Irvin.
Playmaker.
The Miz and Deep also on this program. Gotham Chopra will be here to talk about his latest documentary involving Tom Brady. He also was there documenting the Pete Carroll class at USC I was coming on the air and telling you about. That's the last time I saw him.
Yeah.
So we'll talk some Raiders football with him too. Why not? Since Tom Brady is... in the ownership group of that franchise as well. But let's take a break. We'll come back. Manti Te'o is going to come out of our green room. The co-host of Good Morning Football will join us right here on the Rich Eisen Show. You at 844-204-RICH being the number to dial.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Knowing you could be saving money for the things you really want, like that dream house or ride, is a great feeling. That's why the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you save when you choose to bundle home and auto. Bundling, just another way to save with a personal price plan. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
It's the Smucker's Uncrustables podcast with your host, Uncrustables. Okay, today's guest is rough around the edges. Please welcome Crust.
Thanks for having me.
Today's topic, he's round with soft pillowy bread.
Hey.
Filled with delicious PB&J.
Are you talking about yourself?
And you can take him anywhere.
Why'd you invite
him? And we are out of time.
Are you really cutting me off?
Uncrustables are the best part of the sandwich. Sorry, Crust.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I was looking for fun ways to tell you that Mint's offer of unlimited premium wireless for $15 a month is back. So I thought it would be fun if we made $15 bills. But it turns out that's very illegal. So there goes my big idea for the commercial. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, sitting here on the Roku Sports Channel, our radio audience will rejoin us in just a couple of minutes, but just fresh off of the speed freeway, for those pop culture folks out there, the 105 freeway, that's what you take to go from NFL Network right here. Yeah. It's just a couple of minutes down the road, fresh off of the Good Morning Football set. Manti Te'o making his Rich Eisen Show appearance.
It's good to be here, bro.
How are you, man?
I'm great. You know, we've been rolling since 3 a.m., so we're like midday, right? You know what I mean? We're mid-swing, bro.
What time do you go to sleep?
Man, I try to get in bed by about 7:30, 8 o'clock.
On.
Yeah, with a 3 and 2 year old, my wife is a champ. She makes sure that they're all settled. Yeah, it's a lifestyle. You know how it is, bro.
Oh no, I know. And plus, at this point in time, it is still quite light outside.
Oh yes. So I have one of those like blindfold things on so I could sleep. But I'm a little different where I love the sound of my kids around me. It kind of soothes me a little bit. And so just to have them around me, I can go to sleep. I'd rather go to sleep in a room filled with my wife and my kids than in a hotel room.
Okay, I'm going to bite on this one.
Yeah.
How does a 2 and a 3 year old noises get you ready for bed, man? I mean, how is that possible?
Well, you know, Rich, you know this, when you're on the road so much, you know what I mean? The silence is deafening to me.
Okay.
You know? And so when I'm hearing my kids, and my wife does a great job at telling them to shush. So when I got some Moana on this TV and it's down a little bit, like they're not really talking all that much, but you could hear them laugh at certain scenes.
Sure.
It's home. I'm reminded that I'm home when I'm asleep.
Moana is quite on brand for someone from Hawaii with kids. You know?
Yeah.
Okay. I like it.
That's awesome.
Did Cage ever help put you to sleep when he was 2 or 3?
Oh, definitely not.
No.
No. Because he would run in and hit me with that macho man elbow.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, dude, I'm trying to sleep.
Boys, girls, what do you have?
So my 3-year-old, she's going to be four in about 2 weeks.
Okay. Manti Te'o has stopped by from Good Morning Football and Good Morning Football GMFB Overtime that precedes this show every single day on the Roku Sports Channel. It is good to see you, sir. Were you recruited by Charlie Weiss?
Yes, I was. Yes, I was.
Back in the day. So yeah. Charlie Weiss showed up in Hawaii?
He did once. So he only came down once to visit, and it was a big visit. But, you know, back Pete Carroll, Charlie Weiss, Jim Harbaugh, like they were the three.
Okay, so Pete was obviously at USC.
Jim was at Stanford.
Right, and Jim was at Stanford.
Yeah.
Okay, so you had the grades for it, huh?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I didn't have the AP classes, and so when they told me I had to take one more AP class, I was like, AP class at Punahou is that's a whole nother level. That's the school I went to.
Yeah, right.
It was one of those requirements where you understood when you had that Stanford diploma, it was going to be something.
Okay, so Jim was recruiting you.
You
had a good story. How Jim recruited you? Did he sleep in a banyan tree or something like that, or like what happened?
You know, I've always had a great respect for Coach Jim Harbaugh when he recruited me. There was that rumor that he was going to go to the NFL, and he always kept it real with me. He's like, listen, you know, things always change. Opportunities always open up, so I'm not going to say no, but I'm also not going
to
say yes.
He said that to you.
Yeah, and so I've always had a tremendous amount of respect for him because he was real about it. Now, what's so strange is I go my freshman year, Coach Harbaugh's at Stanford, Coach Carroll's at USC, Coach Weiss is at Notre Dame.
Yes.
Sophomore year, all three of them are gone. So it didn't really matter at that point.
Well, because Brian Kelly came in to Notre Dame.
Brian Kelly came in, right.
Pete left for Seattle.
Yeah, Pete left for Seattle. And Jim went to San Fran. Yeah, so all three of
them. So you're finished either way. Yeah,
so either way, you know.
Somebody looking for continuity at the collegiate level, yeah, you know, kind of the cards were stacked.
That's how they were, Rich.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's good.
So Brian Kelly comes in. How is it different?
Well, Brian Kelly is different because he just come from Cincinnati, and Cincinnati in 2010, they're one of the better offensive schools in the country at that time. So he comes in, he brings in his regime. I mean, it's just new, you know, that he's trying to get used to Notre Dame. We're trying to get used to him, but we had some dogs there. I mean, we had Golden Tate, we had Kyle Rudolph, Harrison Smith, Michael Floyd. So we had some guys over there that you could help push that along.
Look at Harrison Smith doing it still, right? Killing it too.
Yeah.
Like he's at the top of his game. You could make a case still.
General. Yeah. Cerebral, smart.
Right.
That he's always been that since Notre Dame.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. By the way, and just to, this is how much respect I have for you to have you on this program. You know, I severely dislike Notre Dame football.
I didn't know that, Rich. Okay. Understatement, Manti. Oh, yeah. Understatement.
What's the background behind that?
I'm the University of Michigan Wolverine.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay. My first game that I covered for the Michigan Daily on the football beat, which is what you work for, you work towards on the Michigan Daily ladder, sat right there. Rocket Ishmael ran it one way, then he ran it the other way. And basically, Michigan's national title hopes back in that day were dashed on day one.
So are you more, do you not like Notre Dame more or Ohio State more?
Oh, great question.
I think that's pretty
Ohio
simple.
State.
Yeah. Ohio State. Oh, I'm asking Rich, for you, it seems like you're struggling a little bit.
Well,
we were answering for him.
Sure. First of all, we don't play Notre Dame anymore because Notre Dame refuses to schedule us.
It's had a losing, guys.
So that's it. I think out of any entity, sports entity, I dislike the Ohio State University, number one overall. His Red Sox are two, you know, because I'm a New Yorker who went to the University of Michigan.
Got it.
And the only two, this is what we call first-class problems, Manti, because of what I've done from SportsCenter all the way to the present day, from 96 to now, is I'm not emotional about sports that much anymore.
Okay.
But the two entities that get me very emotional, where I have to snap out of it if they lose, is Michigan football and New York Yankees baseball.
Yeah, Michigan football is a big thing. I had a thing against Michigan first. You know, Michigan was my first away game as a collegiate athlete.
Okay.
And I thought
in
I knew
the big
what,
house, huh?
In the big house.
Okay.
Now, I thought what I knew what rivalries were until I went to the big house as a member of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish football team. And when I got off that bus, things were being said to me that, you know.
Oh.
Yeah. So that was my first experience.
Hawaii,
no,
huh?
I didn't hear that in Hawaii. I didn't even know those words were even in the dictionary. But
they still aren't, probably.
Yeah. Urban dictionary.
Depends on the dictionary. Yeah. But so I've had, that's how I felt against Michigan until, you know, recently, past 5 years, I met some amazing people from Michigan. Jamie Erdahl.
Yes, her
husband Sam. Shout out to Sam. He's a Michigan alum.
Normally
proud.
Normally they tell Sam, Jamie, you know, he married up.
Yeah.
But Jamie knows how I feel about Michigan. And
yeah.
Sam, yes.
Yeah. Right. And then JB Fitzgerald, who's my agent, he also went to Michigan. So I'm surrounded by a bunch of Wolverines now.
Yeah,
I love him.
I know him too.
Yeah.
Congratulations on being surrounded by Michigan people and important parts of your work life.
I love it. I love it. That's why everything's changed for me in Michigan now.
Look at you now. Still, I rent Rudy hoping he pops a claw. And Rudy has heard that and he wants to fight me apparently.
The real Rudy.
The real Rudy has heard this.
Yeah. Rudy Rudiger, huh?
Yeah, he was because he was offsides. Sorry. What's my problem?
It's very hostile and aggressive. Manti's bigger than you. you.
It's all love up in you, brother.
I know that. He's bigger than you.
I do it to Bettis too. And by the way, so Bettis's kid is there. Larry Fitzgerald kid is there now. Mm-hmm. Marcus Freeman is crushing it. Actually like him, right? Like did I tell him that too? Or did I tell his quarterback that I'm like, I like him so much. He makes me forget my dislike for Notre Dame football.
He's a very likable man.
I was rooting for Notre Dame football in the national championship
game. You're coming around, Rich.
But I was out of spite. You're asking which one do I not like the most, and they play each other for the championship.
I get that. At least you're rooting for us a little bit, though. I'll take that as a win.
For four quarters, how'd it go for you, though? You know?
Oh, yeah. It was rough. You know, I struggled because when I went to the first and only game that I went to that year was a Northern Illinois game.
Oh, no. Sorry to hear that. I know.
And so, like, the narrative was like, bro, you guys lost because Manti was at the game. So I took one for the team, and I stayed home for the national championship because I didn't want an event that anything happened. I didn't want that bad juju around the team. But it was an exciting game. The first half, I know it was a little slow. But just in normal Marcus Freeman team fashion, they started to fight back in the end. I couldn't be more proud.
He's really, really, really good.
Yeah.
And
elite.
And by the way, and I will just say this, calling out my Ohio State friends, when Ohio State lost to Michigan in the final game of the regular season, and it was all blowing up in their world, which obviously, yada, 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 5 weeks later, everything's fine. Everybody wanted day out Marcus Freeman in because he went to school at the Ohio State. Yeah. And so, you know, instead, they go on this run for the ages, and now they still claim them both. In the same way they still claim Burrow, and Burrow still claims them, and it pisses me off. All right, I'm going to get out of this one. Matt Tateo here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you enjoying your gig now?
I'm loving it. I'm loving it. It's a great team. I think that's the main thing about where I'm at right now.
That's cool.
I wanted to be a part of a good team with good people. And man, let me tell you, when you're surrounded by somebody like Jamie Erdahl and Kyle Brandt and just how their brain works,
right?
You know, you're seeing what's on the prompt, but then they're saying a whole bunch of other stuff, and I'm just constantly just trying to soak up information and knowledge from them. So it's been a true blessing.
That's awesome. So let me put you through the paparazzi paces right now. Your Super Bowl contender of note, number one, top of your list. Who is it? 2025, Manti Te'o. I know we're a month away. You got to flex these muscles now because he's going to be asked of you very shortly.
See, Rich, I was taught this by Kyle Brandt, as we have a segment on our show.
What,
where
you make
we
a pop culture reference and dodge the question?
Where we have a specific prediction week where we save all of our stuff for that prediction week. So I got to follow.
But that's also,
you know,
a cagey,
I mean,
way of saying, you know, I'm not answering the question because I need to save it for my show. You know,
that's essentially what he said.
So then give me your top contenders.
So I really like the Buffalo Bills. I think a sleeper coming out this year out of the AFC is the Denver Broncos. I really think that what Sean Payton has Denver Broncos, Rich, they're looking scary, man. What Sean Payton has been able to do with Bo Nix, that offense, he has a two-back system now, a true two-back system, which is what he's always wanted. He had that in New Orleans when I was there with Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram.
So Dobbins is his Ingram, and R.J. Harvey is his Kamara?
Yeah. Audrey Estime could be in that Mark Ingram.
I didn't mean to leave out the Notre Dame guy.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Come on now. See, you did a true Michigan guy. Whatever.
Bad. Okay, yes. I'm sorry.
I like them out of the AFC. The Chargers could also be one of those as well. The AFC West, I know there's a lot of talk about the NFC North, but the AFC West, in my opinion, is the division to watch this year, not only with the talent, but if you look at all of the coaches over there, all of those coaches have played in the Super Bowl.
Right.
There's only one that hasn't won a Super Bowl, and that's Jim Harbaugh, but he's won everywhere else he's been. So that's, you think about that pedigree, and you just can only assume that the competition coming out of that division is going
to
be something.
Okay. And again, I know you're relatively new to the paparazzi NFL media front here, but you left out the Chiefs. And if you do that,
I already know.
But it is an annual ritual one would have. If somebody wins the division eight straight years, this is finally the year, because it cannot happen. This, the broken clock is going to have to be right once before it's right twice.
Yeah.
And so this is the year. You think?
I don't think it's a year, but the thing is, everybody has to understand is with the Chiefs is from weeks 1 through 17, they play okay. It's when they get into the playoffs that they morph into something called a champion and they start to play at championship caliber football.
Yes.
If you don't allow the Chiefs to get into the playoffs, and that's why I bring up the Broncos and the Chargers, because they're in that division. Now, we've had seen throughout the years three teams from one division go to the playoffs.
Yes.
If that happens, it's hard to go against Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. It's just hard.
Yeah.
So it's going to come down to the contenders in that division to see what happens to the Chiefs, because right now it's probably the most competitive one. And out of the NFC, I got to say, that building right next to where we work, there's a team that's playing out of there called the LA Rams. That signing of Devontae Adams, Rich, is probably one of the most dangerous signings for a defensive player to go against that offense.
Why?
Well, if you look at Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp, what they had before, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They played the same position. So it's hard to have to divvy up shares there when you have the guy that plays the same position. That's what they had before. Now you have Devontae Adams, who's a true X receiver, mm-hmm. one of the best at his job ever to ever play the game. Now you have what the Cincinnati Bengals have with T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase, where you Puka Nacua is Ja'Marr Chase, where you move him everywhere. You could use him anywhere you want to. But then you have Devontae Adams, and if you give Matt Stafford the luxury of just looking at your defense and seeing where your safety's at and seeing if you have somebody over number 17 or not, and him being able to identify that defense so quickly like that.
Because he's done it forever.
He's done it forever, Rich. Right. And then even at that point, if you still stick both safeties back there to guard against a pass, you still have to guard against Kyren. And Kyren Williams is a rugged runner who can play 99% of the snaps for you if you're the LA Rams. And so if you have that dynamic offensively with Matt Stafford at the helm, it's scary. You know?
Especially since it all does predicate off the run with McVay.
Always.
And so if the run game is working, because there's also a Michigan Wolverine in that running back room. And you're right, Kyren doesn't come off the field because he does have the ability to pass block on third down, unlike a lot of running backs. And unlike a lot of running backs, he doesn't touch the top of his helmet a lot at all. And if the offensive line can hold up, right, and they have the tight end position down, it's pretty friggin' dangerous.
Well, the thing about the one-back approaches is this, is it keeps everything at your disposal. See, when you send in a scat back defensively, I know 80% of the time you're going to throw the ball. So there's a tendency marker that defensively I can get into your huddle a little bit. I was like, okay, if I see Alvin Kamara back there, he can run the ball, but you're mainly here to throw him the ball. You know, so like defensively, when you have Kyren in the game first and second and third down, I don't know what you're going to do. You know what I mean? And it just puts the defense in a very uncomfortable situation and position to be in. So I look at the LA Rams as a team offensively and defensively with one of the best head coaches in the game and Sean McVay, they're going to be dangerous.
Yeah, Jared Verse, a lot of folks are saying this is a defensive player of the year type of guy coming off of winning defensive rookie of the year. So you like them. Well, first of all, when they play the Eagles, they just have to stop Saquon, at least hold him under 200 yards, right? Like, because he was the one who torched them. You could say that he was the one, who essentially, finished him off last year. And then also, stuck it to him in a very crucial measuring stick game on a Sunday night.
Yeah.
So put it all together, though. How do you like the Eagles coming back and potentially repeating?
I really love the Eagles. And this is why I love the Eagles is because offensively they have almost zero turnover.
Right.
You know, they lost Mekhi Becton. He went to the Chargers. But other than that, you have the same guys in there, the same identity, all of that. The biggest question for the Eagles to me is with all the departures defensively. Now, you lost some key guys as far as figures in the locker room with Brandon Graham retiring and Darius Slay going to the Steelers. Like those two guys, like there's a dynamic of play on the field, but then impact in the locker room. Mm-hmm. Those two guys are locker room guys. They're the guys that as a coach, if you're Nick Sirianni, you can say, do it like Brandon Graham. Well, now you don't have a Brandon Graham in there to point to. So can Jalen and Jalen Carter them step up and be that for the Eagles? Because you look at that Eagles talent-wise, probably the most talented defense in the NFL right now, top to bottom. And so I look at the Eagles coming out of the East as being that contender to go against somebody like the Rams, and now it's going to be a tale of the two.
They lost their OC again, too. You know, when I was interviewing Jalen Hurts before the Super Bowl last year for game day morning and talked to him about all the different offensive coordinators he's had from college. I mean, literally from college, where, you know, Daboll was there in Alabama, then he wasn't. Then he goes to Oklahoma. Then he goes to the pros. Right. And they constantly, you know, then there goes Doug Peterson. In comes Sirianni. There goes Shane Steichen. Right now, here goes Kellen Moore. And I'm like, all the different guys. He said, tell me about it. Knowing that he was going to lose Kellen Moore, pretty much.
Yeah.
And so how will that affect things is a big question mark. And that's the biggest question mark involving the Lions, right? Is that they lost both coordinators. Right. And the last time the Eagles did that, they didn't make the Super Bowl after making it.
Yeah, so. It's going to be something. I think defensively for the Lions, it isn't going to be that big of a transition because Coach Shepard, who was that linebacker coach over there for the past 4 years, he knows the guys. He knows the personnel. He was under Aaron Glenn. So I think there's not going to be maybe a little maybe a little difference as to how he calls the plays, but not what he calls. Okay. I think they run the same thing now offensively. That's going to be the thing that I think we're going to miss a lot with Ben Johnson not being there. It's all those trick plays and those things to kind of take advantage of defenses in a very creative way, which Ben Johnson was so good at. But the identity of that team is Dan Campbell. You know, Dan Campbell, the rugged, hard-nosed Detroit style. You know, and I think that's something that's going to forever be there as long as Dan Campbell's there.
Okay, so let's follow Kyle Brandt's direction. Keep it quiet until, you know, Good Morning Football's prediction
thanks,
week.
Rich, thanks.
Right? But I think so, Rams-Broncos. Did I hear that?
I like that.
Those are guys that I that, that I have.
You're circling around them?
Yeah, like vultures, just circling them.
You're circling around it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, man, I'm high on the Rams, too. Very.
No.
We shall see. And if you want to just really extrapolate it out, I mean, you think the Rams want to win the Super Bowl in the home of the Niners?
I don't know.
You know, and just basically put their mark, you know, like that hydrant, lift a leg on that hydrant, you know what I mean? Forevermore. You know what I mean? Like that's the sort of stuff. You know, Michael Irvin, who's our guest in hour two, was on game day morning. You know, we were all together in Tampa. And everybody was choosing the Chiefs. That was in that COVID Super Bowl. And everyone's choosing the Chiefs. The Chiefs are going to, because, you know, and then Michael's like, nah, I'm taking the Bucks.
Yeah.
And we're like, why? And he basically gave, you know, the football reason, but then also said, there is no way the Bucks will allow another team to come into their house and win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, they'll never be able to walk on this field again without thinking about it, and they will not do it. And guess what?
I mean,
they didn't.
The LA Rams did that when they played the Bengals, right?
Well, that there, came so really close.
It came close, but
they needed Aaron Donald.
Aaron Donald was a good
right?
Exactly.
Right, but you know, at least they had him. Thanks for coming here.
Of course,
really
brother.
Appreciate
Anytime.
It. Let's
appreciate
do this more regularly. Yeah. You know the way now.
Yeah, I know the way.
Okay.
I also know I'm gonna bring a Notre Dame jersey just for you, Rich.
You could do that. No. And we'll put it somewhere special.
Good to see it in a bathroom.
We have different opinions on the definition of special.
Okay. There's a lot of wall space here. So.
Yes, there is. Bring whatever you'd like.
Just bring yourself.
Okay. Manti Te'o, check him out every single day on Good Morning Football. That's NFL Network. Friday, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. Eastern Time. And then, of course, GMFB Overtime after that precedes this show right here on the Roku channel. Thanks for coming.
Thanks,
sir.
Brother.
This episode is brought to you by LifeLock. Between two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN, you try to be in control of how your info is protected. But many other places also have it, and they might not be as careful. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats. If your identity is stolen, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/podcast for 40% off. Terms apply.
So we could have had a movie about somebody who's what, half nothing, 100 pounds nothing. Could have called it David, huh? And then we could have had Bo up there, and everybody could have put their Michigan jerseys on the desk. Did that really happen, David?
Well, of course not. And you know that. But you know something? The other night, you know, you got me going because the other night I just Googled and said, you know, how much of this blank is true? And I started putting in a list of sports movies.
Okay.
You know, We Are Marshall, The Blind Side, Remember the Titans, blah, blah, blah. We come off like a Ken Burns documentary compared to most of those movies.
Oh!
Line of the
yes.
day.
Why you throw it down?
All right.
I'm not joking, you know?
Do you want to explain to me how, what you told me on Monday that Rudy has heard what I've had to say about this subject matter?
This is the best part. This is
so good. I haven't told my guys what about this, but please, I give you the floor. Is this true that Rudy, that this, what I have said into this microphone has filtered in the direction of Mr. Rudiger?
We're directly to Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yes.
And, it was very interesting. I have not talked to Rudy. Angelo has.
Okay.
And apparently Rudy was pretty incensed enough to go to his neighbor, Mike Tyson, and ask him if he would train him to get you in the ring to put you where you belong.
Hold on a second. Back the truck up. Hold on. So the real Rudy lives in Las Vegas next to Mike Tyson?
Who he has apparently asked for...
Like training?
Training advice, so he could come
in my room. He could, you know what, Rudy could, I heard this through Angelo.
What?
Angelo spoke to him. But it could have been, I know that Floyd Mayweather, it might have been Mayweather.
No!
Mayweather lived in his neighborhood.
Oh my gosh.
That's fantastic.
And by the way,
yes,
he was not in the movie. What was not in the movie is that when Rudy was at Holy Cross, and he was, you know, trying to come off as a Notre Dame student, getting in the cheering section, painting the helmets, all that. He also joined what they called, and I don't know if they do it today, but it was a campus-wide boxing tournament, and it was called the Bengal Bouts. And dudes, he won it. As a Holy Cross student masquerading as a Notre Dame student. And he won. And we had it originally in the script, but we had to cut it out.
Well, now hearing about his ability to fight.
Yeah,
and
you better
his
start playing nice with Rudy.
Boy, what a great film this is, David. I mean, now that you tell me the backstory, I mean, wow. It's quite a moving piece of cinema that you put together.
I'll never forget when I got on the phone
that
with David Anspaugh.
Awesome.
That was during the pandemic, I think.
Yep.
And he told me on the phone, oh, yeah, Rudy wants to beat you up. I think I called you. I'm like, wait till you hear what's going to happen. We're going to have David Anspaugh on the program,
guess.
And you'll never guess what's coming. And
yeah. And the last two Fanatics Fest, I've been secretly hoping that we ran into Rudy.
Yeah.
Just back, you know, backstage. Just,
no.
Oh, hey, Rudy. Oh, the Rudy.
Yeah, and I'd be like,
Rich Eisen.
Would you like to meet my friend Charles Woodson? He's here, too. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We didn't lead with this today because there's an actual football game to be played tonight, but we've been talking a lot of Cowboys.
Yeah, we sure
TJ, have. And it's all been about, like, what's up with Micah and do the Joneses know what they're doing and why are they dragging it out and how does that actually lead to results, poorly or not, for the Dallas Cowboys later on, you know, this season. Let's talk a little bit more positives here, right?
Oh, yes.
And how about it includes their coach is the positive? Because as you all know, well, I mean, it all started with Mike McCarthy, you're out. Brian Schottenheimer, who's never done it before, you're in. Because we at the Dallas Cowboys aren't going to go hire an elite coach because they're expensive. And plus, you know, we want coaches to do what we want them to do. And the elite coaches might give, you know, a little pushback.
Or maybe they'll make him
elite. That's the narrative. That's the narrative. But, you know, this is the son of Marty here.
That's what I'm saying.
And this is his one shot. And I don't think, to use the Hamilton phrase, he's going to throw it away. And he's not going to countenance his players fighting with each other during training camp. So apparently a fight broke out in Oxnard, California. He steps in, breaks it up, airs him out, and then makes the players and other coaches run laps.
Love it.
Whoa.
Yes, this happened in Oxnard, California yesterday. CeeDee Lamb, you have the floor after that all went down. What did you think of Brian Schottenheimer's way of handling this training camp brouhaha?
It's been a while, but I feel like that was really necessary. I honestly like what he's doing because we need discipline. We need to be able to go through that line. You know what I'm saying? We need to have that availability towards the team and then that aggressiveness at the same time to be able to be as mad and fight between the whistles. And then as soon as the whistle's done, like, we're going to line it up again. So I'll see you next play type. We need to have that type of energy, not we're going to get it done right here, right now, like, no matter what. So shout out Shotty for that. But as for us, we just got to be the best group that we can.
What was the PG version of what Shotty's message to the looked like he had a few curse words.
Do we want to be champions? Because like throughout the years of us being here, talent was never the problem for us. It was always discipline. How do we like get ahead and not behind? You know what I'm saying? Now, how do we not shoot ourselves in the foot? How do we not hurt ourselves? Obviously, when the momentum is going our way, like we need to continue to keep our foot on the pedal and make the right play and always think about the team.
Do you want to be champions?
Ooh, I like this.
Calling them out. That's the PG version. I believe that sounded like our friend Clarence Hiller asked the question. Yeah, what's the PG version of what Schottenheimer said to the group? Do you want to be champions? And how about him saying, it's not been the talent around here, it's been the discipline. Because you do see, you know, a lot of foot shooting moments, obviously, by the Dallas Cowboys. Sometimes it was play calling. Sometimes it was timeouts. That's obviously on the coach. And other times it was on execution. That's on the players. But he's saying it's definitely on the coaches, too.
Yeah, Schottenheimer already had come out and said he wasn't down for fighting in camp. And I guess that just proved it.
Brian Schottenheimer getting the job done would be quite the plot twist, would it not?
You know, about a month ago, everyone was kind of clowning on Schottenheimer. And I said, because of the one little blurb that we heard, and I told you, I listened to his whole press conference. And I bought in, man. I really did. Because like we said, he's a coach's son.
What was his soundbite that made you?
I forget. Do you remember what he just said something and it went around and it kind of made him
clicked.
Look. Yeah. But then I watched the whole thing and I was like, nah, I like this message. I like what he's doing. Like you said, he's the son of a legend. He had to have picked up on things, right, coaching-wise, and he just never got his chance. It took this long for someone to give him a chance, and I can guarantee you that he's not going to go out there and just blow it.
Well, it would be helpful if he is Micah Parsons and CeeDee Lamb. That's what happens when somebody's holding in or not having a contract. Everybody else gets asked the question, and CeeDee was in this position last year. Let's not forget Jerry Jones, when he heard people screaming, pay Micah, he said that that's not as loud as when it was last year. Some people took that as a shot that CeeDee is more popular than Micah, but Jerry pointed out he meant that we're louder last year because CeeDee literally wasn't here, which makes things worse. So CeeDee's been through all this. He was asked advice that he would give. It's 2 cents on the Micah Parsons situation.
It sucks. Like, it's terrible, to be honest. But as for Micah, his is to dominate one player that's in front of him. So I feel like for him, it's just like whenever you let them shackles loose on him, he's going to be literally an uncaged tiger, so, or a lion, essentially. So for him, just keep his head on right. Stay positive throughout this whole thing. We know it's going to get figured out. And when it does, we're going to act like none of this happened. I'm going to ask him for $100,000. And he can't tell me no because he has it.
$100,000 for me.
See, now you being nosy. That's my money.
Oh.
Having fun with it. Because he's right. I told you. It sucks. It sucks to be in this position. You have your self-worth. You wish that management would match your vision of your self-worth. Not just monetarily, but in time. You're like, let's go. Like, we know this is going to happen. What's the point? Let's go. And of course, Dallas's Joneses are pushing back, saying it takes two to tango. He's got to want to get paid, you know, all that sort of stuff. And it just sucks. He's walking around with everybody knows why he's not participating. They see it. They're trying to buck him up. CeeDee's been through it. But he also knows at the end of the day, he wound up smiling with a ton of cash. And they act like nothing ever happened. And he's a good teammate because he corrected his choice of the analogy of an animal. You know, like Micah refers to himself as a lion. Mm-hmm. He's a Nittany lion. So he went tiger and then he corrected himself to lion.
That's good.
At the end of the day, he's going to be there. And at the end of the day, it's going to be on the players to execute. And if they have a coach that's selling stuff that they're buying in a way that they didn't have sold to them over the last few years, with all due respect to Mike McCarthy and his tenure there, I mean, CeeDee Lamb said discipline was missing. How about them apples?
Yeah, I mean,
look. And if it's there right now, you know, off we go for the Dallas Cowboys, man. On the first night of preseason, cannot wait. First night of regular season, Dallas at Philly, big ass measuring stick. Michael Irvin coming up. You know,
You were saying, sorry, we got only 15 seconds left in the radio hour.
The discipline thing kind of checks because it can't be the talent, because this team over the last, I don't know, two decades or so has had at least 20 first or second all NFL team members that are Dallas Cowboys. So the talent has definitely been in Dallas, but the results have not been there, obviously, as everyone knows, because
Vegas thinks they're going to be under 500 this year.
I think that's a little bit out of pocket. So they think the over under is at 8.5? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. If you bet over 8.5, you're getting plus money.
I'm going to do that.
Didn't Susie make Irv play the win loss game when she sat in this chair?
Yeah. Tulo sent us an email about that, and he had him at.
Did she 12, not write it down?
He had him at 12-5.
He did.
Yeah. 12-5. TJ, I got this signed and notarized by Jay Felly. 11-6 TJ prediction.
Yes.
Irv had a starting off 3-0, beating Philly, beating the Giants, beating Chicago, losing to Green Bay, and then going on a 6-game winning streak.
That's at the Jets,
yeah,
at the Panthers, Washington Commanders, at the Broncos, home for the Cardinals, at Vegas. It's interesting he has them winning at the Jets since we called a game in London back in the day, all went to dinner afterwards. He brought his iPad with him with the NFL league pass on. He was watching the game, streaming it at the table, Dallas and the Jets. I was having it on my phone on the ESPN app, you know, when with the dot that,
you know,
that arcs for completed passes, right? And then X's for incomplete passes.
I love that.
And then straight lines for touchdowns, right? So I was in front of him. I was in front of him. The app.
Oh, the GameCast was ahead
before,
of the.
Was before.
His stream was a little delayed.
His stream.
Oh, man.
So I saw Sam Darnold hit somebody with a pass, or it was picked off in return for a touchdown against the Cowboys. And I knew a Jet touchdown was coming. Said nothing. Watched Michael Irvin watch it. He got so upset, he grabbed his iPad, left the restaurant, went back to the hotel, and to this day still has not given his portion of the bill.
I think we should lead with that.
No, I don't know. If he starts talking mess about the Cowboys, they're definitely going to beat the Jets in New York or New Jersey. Pardon me. Sorry, Bills fans. It's New Jersey. I get it. And then I'll have to say something. I don't know if I really want to. The way I introduce him is going to be epic, by the way. Because I think he's. That's right. Michael Irvin coming up.
Jim Rome takes on sports.
Why? Because you're not playing me.
With rapid fire takes.
And a lot to get to, and I'm not sure you're going to like all of it. Honestly, I don't even care if you like all of it or not. I have a job to do.
Scorching debates.
On any given week, you have lots to beef about. Take advantage of it. Get up in here.
He's the spitfire of sports smack.
She's not my fault. We will get to all of that.
The Jim Rome Show podcast.
Get up in here, and we'll beef later on. What's your beef?
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
You've been warned.